Happy Wednesday, Patriots. War Room Wednesday on the Great Divide. It's hump day. What's going on? There's a bunch of people out there watching. We got Facebook going. We're now on Getter now. We're now live streaming on Getter. I just got access to that. We're on Rumble. We're on the Patriot Podcast Network. We're like broken glass. We're everywhere. Hope you're all doing great. A lot going on. Donald Trump had another sweeping victory in the primaries last night in Florida and New York. And it was like 26-0 or something like that for the night. I forget the exact number, but you know, there were some races I wasn't happy about. I wasn't happy that Anthony Sabatini lost in Florida against a warmonger, rhino, fake America First candidate, Corey Mills. He bought his race. And there were a few others, but you know, those in Florida can make your own determination on what happened there. I know we get a lot of Florida watchers and listeners. The live chats are open. I always like seeing what you guys have to say. I've been getting a lot on Facebook, especially my Facebook page the last couple days. The leftists are yelling and screaming up and down in comments that conservatives and Trump supporters, we're all in a cult. We're all in a cult led by this big orange bad man. Such a bad cult. I say it all the time. Don't worship false idols. Don't worship politicians. Don't worship celebrities, music people, anybody. You know, they're all going to disappoint you at some point. And Donald Trump is not immune. I'm a Donald Trump supporter, but I'm not in a Donald Trump cult. You know, I'm sorry, but the man does not shit gold. You know, he's great. He had great policy. I want him to run again. He needs to run again. I mean, one man is not going to save the country. But I don't believe in this Trump cult, this big, bad orange man cult. But the leftists, the progressives, the sickos out there, you know, the ones who like child molesters and want to respect pedophiles and have us call them MAPS, you know, minor attracted people. They should all be hanging from trees. So I now respond to them saying, you know, because apparently when Donald Trump farts, we all go, ooh, Donald Trump farted. When he says something, we all have to bow down and take a knee to the big bad orange man. So my now response is, yes, I am in a cult. And in my cult, we brainwash people to do their own thinking and their own research and to question everything. And I think that's a pretty good cult to be in. So you have, then I ask them, why don't you tell me about your cult? What's your cult about? Then they don't want to answer. Of course, they don't want to answer. They just want to, you know, they have no answer. They're idiots. So that was, you know, the big Facebook battle the last couple of days. The cult. It happens all the time, though. But now I'm responding with that. We should all be in this cult of brainwashing people to think rationally on their own and do their own research and question everything, including the government, including the media, including me, including podcasts, including everybody. If someone's giving you information, question it, do your own research, verify it, come up with your own opinion. That's okay. And I always say it every episode, believe nothing of what you hear, half of what you see, and come to your own conclusions. But the government doesn't want that. The government wants us brainwashed. I mean, look what they're doing with student debt now. We're going to pay for that. We're sending more money to Ukraine. What is it, like $3 billion, I think, we're sending this week? Military aid and other things. I mean, do they really think we're that stupid that all of that money is going towards helping the people of Ukraine? I mean, do they really truly think we're that stupid? They truly think we're that stupid that, you know, Donald Trump has secret nuclear documents and codes at Mar-a-Lago. And the government thinks we are all stupid. But people are waking up more and more, and we know that we're not stupid. We're rational thinking humans. But they're going to paint us as stupid. They're going to paint us as conspiracy theorists. They're going to say that we're in a cult. Because we're conservatives, Republicans, maybe just some independents who, yeah, I've been talking to Democrats lately that have, or even on Facebook, have said, hey, I'm a Democrat on paper, but I'm voting Republican. Or I've talked to people in person, like, I can't vote for another Democrat. I can't because of what's going on and what they're doing to our country. I'm in New York. Long Island, New York is known for our diners, our delis, our pizza. Diners are unbelievable near me. I went with my daughter the other night, last night, And, you know, we're sitting there, and I've been going there forever, for years, even before she was born. And you get a nice hamburger or a bison burger and onion rings and fries. And if you get the deluxe, it comes with fries and it comes with two onion rings, so you can put it on the burger. You know, if you want a side of brown gravy, which I like to dip my French fries in brown gravy. So I go there, we order it. And I noticed the last few times, no onion rings. You get the fries, you get the burger, no onion rings. They're nice, big, thick, beer-battered onion rings. You put them on the burger. Then I asked the waitress last night, I go, are you doing the onion rings? Because the last time I was here, you gave me one onion ring. It's normally two. And she goes, yeah, we went from no onion rings to one onion ring, and or two onion rings to no onion rings to one onion ring. Now we're back to no onion rings. Like, oh, okay. Well, I want onion rings, so give me a side of onion rings too. And I want a side of brown gravy. And she goes, well, I have to tell you now, the brown gravy is $1.50. And it's a little like bowl of brown gravy. Always get. So it never changes. And this, and $1.50 for a side of brown gravy, whatever, that's what I want, so give it to me. You're not going to price me out of my brown gravy. So, you know, it comes and me and my daughter eat. She gets chicken fingers and french fries, and the bill comes, and it's $48 for two people at a diner. Normally it probably would have been $10 cheaper. Not a lot of money. Not a lot of money to some people, but it's a lot of money for some people as well. So, yes, we're just going to keep pissing away money. We're going to keep taxing people. We're going to hire 87,000 IRS agents. We're going to arm them, and we're going to send them out to come after the middle class, because they're not just coming after billionaires. Sorry, not going to happen. There aren't that many billionaires in the country for 87,000 IRS agents to go after to have them pay their fair share. No, they're coming after you. They're coming after me. And they're going to just drown us in tax debt. Pay taxes, pay more, pay more, pay more, pay more, because we have to let these little jerk-offs go to school for free. That, you know, that's next. Happening now. A lot of things are happening. We got the White House. There's another thing they think we're stupid about. You're going to tell me that the White House didn't know that they were going to raid the most recent former president of the United States estate, his home, that they were going to go there with 30 FBI agents armed with assault weapons and vehicles, and that the White House, the current president, didn't know, or at least the top level staffers in the White House didn't know. They really think we are that stupid, the American people. And he said it again today, Joe Biden, when he was talking about his ridiculous college debt forgiveness bullshit, saying that he had no prior knowledge of the raid. He's lying. We know Joe Biden has been lying since the 80s. He's been lying before that, even in law, about his law school. He's a liar. Our president is a liar. He's a cheat. He's a liar. He's a fraudster. That's what he is. But now the documents have appeared. They've come to light. That without a doubt, the White House facilitated the Department of Justice criminal probe against Donald Trump, the former president. A memo appeared. It came to light that Joe Biden, in the letter, he actually said that he has decided not to honor the former president's protective claim of privilege, that there's no executive privilege for the former president. So he knew about it, and they were working with the FBI. And this was long before they had any prior knowledge of the raid of Donald Trump's home. Joe Biden's White House worked directly with the Justice Department and the National Archives to not only facilitate, but to instigate a criminal probe into the alleged mishandling of these possible top secret documents. So obviously that allowed the FBI to open the door and do what they did. There's a lot of moving parts here, and it's all coming to light. But so I have a video I'm going to bring up. Judge Napolitano, it's a short video. Judge Napolitano, he's been on my show before. He actually, let me grab this. He talks, it's brief about, as a judge, how there is no executive privilege for a prior president, a former president, dating back to Nixon. He doesn't agree with it. But I want to bring this up, and you guys should be able to hear it. If you can't hear it, let me know in the comments, but you guys should be able to hear it. It's a quick video.
There is no executive privilege for the former president. We know that from the Supreme Court's ruling in 1978 in United States versus Nixon, a 7-2 opinion, when President Nixon said, "Give me the tapes, they're mine." And the Supreme Court said, "No, under the Presidential Records Act, they belong to the federal government." In terms of whether the Presidential Records Act, which basically says the documents belong to the federal government and not to the president, but the president and the National Archives should work things out, since some things are harmless to national security and presidents should be allowed to keep them, that in no way changes the gravity of a president removing from the White House items marked top secret. I say this as somebody who believes fervently that a piece of paper sitting in Donald Trump's locked safe is harmless. I say this as somebody who believes that crime is harm proscribed by the statutes or by nature. I say this as somebody who believes that the only harm here was to the egos of the people in the deep state. But Donald Trump used to head the executive branch of the federal government, and the deep state went after him with all of its might in all 4 years that he was the head of the federal government. He knows how they operate, and he knows what power they had. He taunted the alligator before crossing the stream, so to speak, when he took top secret SCI materials with him to his personal residence in Florida. And more as we get it. I think he's going to pay a price. I've said already, I think he's going to be indicted. It's not just, and it'll be up to a jury to decide if he committed a felony. But I think the feds have decided that's the direction in which they're going to go.
I have to agree with the judge, and I've said it as well publicly, that that's the goal. That is the goal, is they want to get an indictment on Donald Trump, without a doubt. They want an indictment, and they probably will get him. I mean, when they want an indictment against somebody, they get him. I mean, look at all of the conservatives they got indictments on, some that they convicted over straight out hoaxes. You know, you go to the Roger Stones of General Flynn's. I mean, look what they're doing to Steve Bannon. Although Steve Bannon should have complied with the subpoena and sat there and taken the Fifth Amendment for every question, so he wouldn't have had to go to trial in D.C. with a Democrat jury pool and get convicted of two nonsense crimes of contempt of Congress. I mean, he could have avoided that. But any of the documents that Donald Trump may have taken to Mar-a-Lago, it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. They were talking about, oh, he might have nuclear documents, the nuclear codes. First of all, as soon as the president walks out of the White House and he's no longer the president, there's a new football. There's a new person that carries the new football. There are new codes. Everything changes. It's not like Donald Trump can go and sit in Mar-a-Lago and press buttons and have his nuclear codes and start sending nukes places. I mean, but you know what's crazy is that people actually think he may be able to do that. You know, it's insanity. But the government is painting this as, again, orange man bad. They don't want him to run for president. They want to make an example out of him. They want to make a fool out of every single person that ever wore or wears proudly a Make America Great Again hat. They want to make every single conservative look like a domestic terrorist. They want to make every single conservative Republican Trump supporter look like an insurrectionist. They want to make an example of the right wing of politics, and they want, and they're going to stop at nothing. Will they get an indictment of Donald Trump? Probably. And again, unjust. And then unfortunately, a jury will have to decide, where is that jury going to be? Where is the trial going to be held? If it gets that far, I don't think it'll get that far. But again, even if Donald Trump was indicted and convicted of something, I mean, this happened in the past with somebody who took documents. So what if he's convicted of anything? he could still run. He could still run for president. There's nothing in that says he cannot run for president, unless, of course, it's, you know, I think if you're convicted of treason or an insurrection, or it's shown that you took documents that you should have. But we know he declassified all of them. Cash Patel has been talking about that on every media outlet he can and explaining it, and he knows firsthand. But he could still run for president, and he's going to run for president. Ron DeSantis is going to run for governor of Florida. He's term limited. He needs to hold the red line in Florida, talking politically. And he just won his primary. He needs to hold the red line until he's ready and the country is ready to have him as president in 2028 for 8 years. That's my opinion, and I think that's the best political strategy. And I have political strategists that agree with me, who are in the game, heavy in the game. Because as much as people in Florida right now don't like to hear me say it, and I get attacked for saying it, Florida is not a completely red state. It's purple, leaning a lot more red every day. But you can't live in that confidence that Florida is a red state and keep your guard down, because the other team, they're going to lie, they're going to cheat, they're going to rig, and they're going to steal. And they're going to pull out all the stops, and they're going to try very, very, very hard. Whether it comes from the midterms now in the next, what are we, 2 months away? So that's, again, broken record. You got to get involved. You got to work the polls. You got to count ballots. You got to canvass. Find a candidate you support. The government thinks we're stupid. The Democrats want to make us look as bad as possible. They want to get us so hot. And I say this, I've said it before. They want violence from the right. That's what they want. They want violence from the right, because that's something that they can bring into the election, into the midterms, into the general, into 2024, and just go at it. So, talk about more of that stuff later. There's something I saw. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know if you saw it. Now, this is crazy. It's a very weird victory for the transgender community. Now, how many people out there have said, well, being transgender is a mental illness? It's like, it's a disability, gender dysphoria. You're a biological man, you can't be a woman. You're a biological woman, you can't be a man, okay? You can call yourself a squirrel for all you want, and all we care. But the fact of the matter is, biology and following the science is, you're a biological male, you're a biological female. You're not assigned a birth, a gender at birth. You're born a boy or a girl. No, you're not. Yes, you are. Well, trans people are now officially disabled. They literally got a court order, a judge, and they're celebrating this. They're disabled now because of gender dysphoria. We've been saying this all along. I have been saying this, yelling from the rooftops, that mental illness is running rampant in this country, especially in the transgender community that has hijacked the gay community, has hijacked the drag queen entertainment profession. And now, I didn't even know that they were trying to get this. This was a surprise to me. That now they're finally celebrating what we have been saying all along, that you suffer from mental illness, from gender dysphoria, and now they have their label. And yeah, I'm sure there's going to be government benefits coming their way, 100%. Yep, they're getting the government cheese. Absolutely. And now, I guess if you talk the wrong way. Now it's, well, I've been saying you're disabled this entire time. You're sick in the head. You need help. So now I guess that's something else we'll pay for. We're going to pay for all of the special treatment that the boys who want to wear dresses and the girls who want to wear overalls and cut their hair and call themselves Bob, we're going to pay for all of that therapy now. We're going to pay for the therapy for the transgenders who are all disabled from gender dysphoria. We're going to pay for all of the moron millennials out there who want to go to college or just get their debt wiped away. It's just not going to go away. We're going to pay for it. Trans people got what they wanted. And they're celebrating. It's such a weird win. Like, they were yelling at us. They would call us transphobic. Like, transphobic. You're inciting race. You're inciting violence on the trans community for saying that we're mentally ill, or saying that I'm not a boy when I am. And now the courts have awarded them this victory, that they're calling it a victory. Me, if I was trans, I'd be pissed off. Like, oh, great, great. Now they're really going to say I'm crazy, because now they're saying I have a mental illness. When every time someone would say it to me, I'd be like, I'm not mentally ill. I know I'm a girl inside of a boy's body. No, you're mentally ill and you need help. But now I guess we're going to pay for it. We'll pay for your gender reassignment surgery. We're going to pay for the 10-year-old to get puberty blockers. And now, so we're going to cause, yay, we're mental. Yeah, Catalyst Jones, White Rabbit Podcast in the chat. Yay, we're mental. They're all going to celebrate their mental. Are they going to come up with a new flag? Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Does this mean they're going to come up with a new flag for trans and maybe have... I get it. I know what they're going to do. They're going to take the handicap parking permit and they're going to make it rainbow and it's going to be fabulous. And they're going to hang it from, and they're going to get special. Now they get to park wherever the hell they want now. Now Harry can dress up as Sally and pull into the handicap spot when the guy with COPD and the heart problem or had 10 back surgeries because he was a bridge builder and he fell off the bridge. Now he can't park there because some drag queen or some guy who wants to cut his dick off is now parked there with a rainbow handicap spot. They're going to come up with their own license plates. We're proud trans and disabled. Alan, you are such a transphobe. You know what? Maybe if you'd stop... If you'd stop with the cramming it down our throats, maybe it wouldn't piss us off so much. You want to be noticed. You want the special treatment. You want to bring it into schools. Fuck you. And now you want your parking spots and you want to be disabled. Well, you got it. You got it. And here you go. How much more money do you want? How much more money do you need? And this, they'll run on this. The Democrats will run on this. This was a win for the transgender community, and we're here to support you. It is unreal. Oh, this morning, that was something that I wasn't, I saw it earlier. Apparently, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, she was swatted at home. The tranny thing sparked the memory, and then I have the I saw the article. So she was swatted at her Georgia home at like 1 o'clock in the morning after a fake shooting call by a pro-trans extremist. Apparently it was a computer-generated voice that basically was explaining that they were upset about Marjorie Taylor Greene's stance on transgender youth rights. So this is another example of the left, of the progressives, inciting violence against conservatives, but then they'll turn around and say conservatives are inciting violence against people on the left. No one on the right that I have seen with my own eyes, whether it's articles, and if there are out there, I'd love someone to send them to me, where people on the right are inciting violence on people on the left. I mean, they literally try to assassinate a Supreme Court justice. Left-wing groups called for the harassment, the public harassment and shaming of Supreme Court justices in order to intimidate them in their rulings. They picketed at their houses, which was against federal law. And now they're swatting members of Congress. They're swatting members of Congress. So she reported she was swatted by police at her Rome, Georgia home at 1 a.m. Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. According to a Rome Police Department report, Rome police officers responded to a 911 call on Wednesday at 1:03 a.m., which led them to initially believe a man who had been shot multiple times in the bathtub at the Green's home. Oh, okay. Marjorie Taylor Greene shot her husband a bunch of times in the bathtub, I guess. The caller also stated there was a woman inside the home and possibly children were with her. When officers responded, Greene assured the officers there was no issue with the home. Now imagine this. You're sitting home, 1 o'clock in the morning. Your kids are asleep. Maybe you're asleep. I mean, it's 1 a.m. Not a lot of people are awake. I'm typically awake. I barely sleep. And all of a sudden, the police are banging on your door. There's lights outside. Maybe they're talking on megaphones and you look out and there's guns. I mean, people have been killed for this. People have been accidentally killed by police because they've been swatted. This was big in the gaming community. I think Tim Pool was swatted like 7 or 8 times, a couple times on the air. And now you have to think about the police officers. They're getting a call, right? A guy shot in the bathtub. There's a woman with children in the house. Someone shot. There's a gun involved, shot. You know, depending on the protocol of the local police department, does the SWAT team come? What do they do? They're going to surround the house. Somebody walks out the front door. There may be a cop, you know, just pumping on adrenaline. All of a sudden, he thinks he sees something, and he doesn't, and boom, somebody gets shot. Could you imagine if a sitting member of Congress got shot in a swatting incident? That's what they wanted. That's what they were hoping for. Were they going to teach Marjorie Taylor Greene a lesson by making a fake 911 call and sending cops to her house? That was the thought process? No. The thought process was, we're going to swat this bitch in the hopes that someone in her family gets killed by a cop. Then this way they could turn around and the Republicans can say, oh, the police did a really bad job and we should, everything else that comes with that and the violence and the outcries and everything else. And they would chalk that up, those sick, demonic people, as a victory if Marjorie Taylor Greene got shot and killed in a swatting incident. So the police department said after we cleared the call and went back in service, Rome Floyd 911 received the call from the suspect claiming responsibility for the incident. This is interesting. Let's call back and say you did it. And explaining his or her motives, the report stated it was a computer-generated voice. They explained they were upset about Miss Green's stance on transgender youth rights and stated they were trying to swat her. So why would you this? Oh, my God. Why would you call back the cops and say in a computer generated voice, yeah, I just don't like how she talks about trans youth. So I tried to swat her. They also said the caller said they are connected to a website, which police stated supports cyber stalking and gave the police their username on the site. Wow, this person's a moron. Right now, Congresswoman Green's safety is our number one concern. Green's spokesperson said Wednesday, last night, she was a victim of a political attack on a family and home. Whoever committed this violent act will face the full extent of the law. So, I mean, swatting is the real deal. I mean, I think it started in the gaming community, and it could get bad. I mean, again, people have been killed in swatting incidents. It takes nothing for somebody to pick up the phone. Somebody has a grudge against you. It's becoming more popular. I'm waiting for it to happen to me. I'm waiting for it. I mean, it's something legitimately that I have and always have in the back of my head because of what I do. I do the show. I'm politically outspoken. I'm a business owner. And I think about it, how I'm going to handle that situation if it happens in the dark of night, because I'm not going to do it in the middle of the day. They're going to do it so they catch you off guard and that the police are banging on your door to try to get you off your senses. And I'd like to say I'm mentally prepared for that because, you know, I'm not going to make any rash judgments or movements. And in the make no mistake, nobody wants it to happen to them. But it's something, I guess, if you're that outspoken and you're putting yourself out in public, it's something that you should be aware of the possibility of happening. It's happening to members of Congress. And I don't think this is going to be the last time. You know, I think this is the first swatting incident of a member of Congress. I know someone who was running for office recently. I think her name was Candace Taylor, I believe. She has a show. I think that's her name. She was swatted at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And she has older kids. That's another thing, too. You have teenagers in the house. So you got to make sure you know what everybody's doing. It's just really messed up. And again, this is the left inciting violence on conservatives. We're not doing that. I would never think to do that to somebody because they have a different political ideology as me. I mean, I have plenty of people out there that hate my guts, and I know who they are, and I know where they live, and I would never, ever think to do that and bring harm to them and my family. I revel in their hatred. It makes me sleep at night when I can. Whatever. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, she got swatted. I'm glad that it didn't turn into anything, but oh, let's go back to the trannies. Whoa, I'm back. I don't know if I'm still live. I didn't get swatted. Am I back? Can everybody see me? That was weird. I tell you, nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing surprises me. You're talking about swatting. The screen goes black. I'm here. Wow. All right. Everybody still with me? Okay. Someone in the chat. Can you see me? I'm back. All right. Still live. I'm here. I don't know. The camera just went out. That was weird. I had to do a quick click of, you know, quick with the fingers and we're good. So, all right. Yeah, good. Yeah, I got it. I'm back. It was either China, Russia, or, you know, who knows? I mean, the feds. Maybe it was the feds. We're talking about Trump. We're talking about trannies. The other night we were talking about a Friday night show. We had on Freedom Friday with James Curry. We had on Natalie Denise. Natalie Denise has an amazing show. She does all, you know, human trafficking, child trafficking, investigative reporting, and talking about trafficking stories that you'll never hear about unless you're like following her page. So we're in the middle of a show. We're like 30, 40 minutes in, and literally my whole system and the whole production just goes green, goes black, and it was it did a hard restart on my computer. It's never happened before. I have some pretty high tech equipment, you know, top of the line stuff. It's never happened. And then we had a quick go back live. So it was like a 2-part show because we did like a 3-hour show. But it was interesting how we were talking about, there was like Anne Hesh with her video and the child trafficking and all this other stuff. It was just wild. I'm not being conspiratorial and saying, hey, you know, they're trying to knock out the feed, but would it surprise anybody if shows like mine, there are so many of us out there, if that there's somebody out there, there's a group of people in the government or someone that's monitoring our shows? I know for a fact every one of my shows that I've had Roger Stone on, and I don't know, there's my 8 or 9 of them. He's actually going to come on again with me at some point soon. We're going to do a live together where we can interact and everyone in the chat can ask Roger Stone questions. I was on the phone with him last week. His birthday is this Saturday. He's going to be 70. I think we're going to put something together. We're going to do a live feed everywhere we can, and people could ask Roger Stone anything. So I'm working that out. But I know, I was told, a little bird told me, that every because obviously the January 6th committee and the feds, and they hate Roger Stone, the government, they would love to have put him in the gas chamber if they could. They watch all of the media he does, which that kind of flatters me that the government will take the time to watch our content. But when he's on, and it was told to be, yeah, make no mistake that every episode you have Roger Stone on, Big Brother's watching it. Good. Watch it. Like and share. Like and share the video, feds. At least do that for me with your fake Fed account. Speaking of, everyone out there, hit the share button and share the video out. Every time you see it live, share it. We got to get the message out. Decentralized media, that's where it is. Screw legacy media. It's all about us. We're real Americans talking about real stuff. And we're all in this together because it is a war. Information war. It's a war on our faith, our ideologies, the school system, the government. They're all complicit. So we have to stick together and get the truth out the best we can. All right. Now I got to find my... Oh, here we go. Okay. I'm going to try this again. All right. So look at me. Look at the diversity in my gathering of news. CNN politics. Yeah, I check out CNN to see what they're going on. They got going on. Federal appeals court says Americans with Disability Act protections cover gender dysphoria. Handing a win to the trans people. Yay, their flag. Yay, we're disabled. Give me a break. A federal appeals court said Tuesday that the Americans with Disabilities Act covers individuals with gender dysphoria, handing a win to trans people in a case concerning a former inmate who alleged discrimination at a Virginia prison. See this? Okay. I didn't read this article. It's the first time I'm reading it. I just saw it a few places. So here we go. Former inmate alleged. So but, well, I guess it was probably like a woman who thought they were a man in a man's prison or something like that. Yeah. In a majority opinion issued by a three-judge panel with the U.S. Court of Appeals of the Fourth Circuit, the court wrote, in light of the basic promise of equality, I hate that word, that animates the ADA, we see no legitimate reason why Congress would intend to exclude from the ADA's protections transgender people who suffer from gender dysphoria. Every single trans person suffers from gender dysphoria. Every single one. There's no, oh, this trans person doesn't, and this trans person does. If you're a man and you think you're a woman, or you're a woman and you think you're a man, guess what? You suffer from gender dysphoria. Not all of them. Gender dysphoria describes an uncomfortable conflict between a person's assigned gender and the gender with which the person identifies, according to the American Psychiatric Association. In other words, hey, idiot, you're crazy. You're not a girl. You're a boy. You have a dick. We have little trouble concluding that a law excluding from ADA protection both gender identity disorders and gender dysphoria would discriminate against transgender people as a class, implicating the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The ruling read, referring to a constitutional clause that has been used in court to protect minority groups from discrimination. The treatment of trans inmates has long been a focus of advocates for trans rights, with stories of abuse fueling calls for reforms and more targeted anti-discrimination laws. Activists hailed today's ruling, saying it will help precedent for future litigation. The case at hand concerned Kesha Williams, a trans woman with gender dysphoria, who was held for 6 months at a Virginia prison. So in other words, it was a man who thought it was a woman, probably in a woman's prison. They don't say that. Oh, yeah. Though prison deputies initially assigned her to a woman's housing, they quickly moved her to men's housing when they learned that she was transgender. Yeah, you're a man. You should not be with women. It's already there. We've already had cases where men who think they're women are in women's prison, and they're banging women, getting them pregnant. You don't belong in a woman's prison because you say you're a woman. So does that mean if I get arrested for something, I can slap on lipstick and a wig and demand to be put in a woman's prison and then try to bang female inmates? Like, if that's the case, then just deviant men just do that. I just throw lipstick and a wig on. I mean, what's stopping them? According to the ruling, which said that while held in the men's facility, Williams experienced delays in medical treatment for her gender dysphoria, harassment by other inmates, and persistent and intentional misgendering and harassment by prison deputies. Misgendering. Oh, we're going to call you man because you have a dick. That's not harassment. That's reality. That's reality. I'm not trying to be mean or cynical or evil. I'm trying to be real. I'm not trying. I'm being real. This isn't the world of make-believe. We're not pretending. Real life problems. You got to deal with it. You got to man up, be a man, be a woman, deal. Play the cards that are dealt to you. That's what you have to do. It's all right. Enough of the trannies. We got other fish to fry. I want to talk about the border. 5 million. 5 million. Illegal aliens. Not legal immigrants. Illegal aliens, people that broke the law, have come over the border illegally since Joe Biden has been president. 5 million. They're finally reporting on the real numbers. 5 million. And the Border Patrol, I have friends in the Border Patrol. They're just spread thin. Most of them hate their jobs. The ones I know hate their jobs because they're either processing and releasing. They're not allowed to do their jobs. They're not allowed. They're getting assaulted. And they're the people that are, you know, it's not all peachy, nice people coming to America for a better life. No, you have smugglers. You have drug dealers. You have rapists. You have the dredges of the earth. Not all of them. You have nice people coming over. The gates are open, people, so anyone can come. So that's going to bring, obviously, the not-so-nice people, you know. But if you say they're bringing their rapists and they're bringing their not-so-not-the-best people, then you're a racist, you're a xenophobe, you're a this-phobe, you're a that-phobe, you're a white nationalist. You're a racist. You're peddling the great replacement theory. No, the right is not saying that you're trying to replace all whites with minorities. No, we're saying that you're trying to make them all registered Democrats so they can vote and fuck up the country. But again, I have friends, good friends that are Border Patrol agents. I have the highest respect for them. They have a tough job. And they're treated like shit. They're treated like shit by their superiors. They're treated like shit by the federal government. They're forced to work overtime. They're forced to just, you know, you can't go home. No. And they're forced to deal with disgusting people that want to fight them no matter what. So I have a video, and it's been going around Instagram. You might have seen it, but I wanted to play it. This is in San Diego sector, California. So not even a high, like, I shouldn't say that because I don't know too well. But I'm imagining it's not as high of level risk of people coming through there. I'm probably maybe wrong. Then I was going to say like Arizona and parts of Texas. But I don't know if you saw this video. But these people are just brazen, and they're emboldened. They don't care. They know they're going to come in this country. They're going to get free clothes. They're going to get free hotel. They're going to get sent wherever they want, for the most part, by bus, by plane. We're going to pay for it. And then this is how they come over. And this is what the Border Patrol, who, let's face it, these guys aren't making millions of dollars. They're in the hot sun, wearing all this shit, dealing with all these people, running through, trying to take them out, throwing rocks at them, you know, bringing them into really dangerous situations. And this is what they have to deal with here. Look at this. Look at this guy in a wetsuit. He doesn't even care. He doesn't care. People like cheering him on. Look at all the people beyond the wall. Like, come on. He wants to take, just take him on. And here comes the other guy. He just like, hey, look at it. Come on, come on. Doesn't care. Another guy. Look at him. Apparently these were human smugglers, human traffickers, alleged human traffickers. Here comes the linebacker. This is good. Here comes the linebacker. Finally. But yeah, this is on a daily basis. This happened to be one video. This is almost on a daily basis that this is what they're dealing with. And they just don't care. You hear them chanting. They're throwing stuff over the fence. Savages. Anyway, so that's our border, people. That's our border. And that's probably not even some of the worst footage that's out there. There was I didn't see the footage, but a while back I had talked about it on a show. There was I think it was in Arizona. There was a Border Patrol agent. They were stretched so thin on his own, fighting with an illegal for like 17 minutes. And it was like on closed circuit camera, I think. I don't remember if there was any video. It was a while back. Until 17 minutes until backup came. One Border Patrol agent, because they're spread so thin that sometimes they're so far apart. And he got himself in a situation where this guy wanted to fight. He wanted to fight to the death. And imagine you leave home, your family, you're a Border Patrol agent, you're putting on your uniform, you got your tactical vest on, you got all your equipment, which weighs probably 40, 50 pounds. I don't know what kind of shape the guy was in. I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of law enforcement officers out there that let themselves go after they get on the job and they're not in the best shape. I'm not shaming them for it. I'm just talking real. And then you encounter a guy in the hot Arizona sun who's not wearing any of that, who's scrappy, and you're fighting for 17 minutes, and you know you're fighting for your life, and then nobody, you think nobody's coming, and then finally people come and back you up and help. And it's a reality. I mean, look at people that like have to, athletes, boxers, MMA fighters. I don't think any of them are fighting for 17 minutes at a time, and they're ready for it. So again, this is what the Border Patrol's up against. And all that video we just watched, you have Joe Biden to thank for that, his whole entire administration. Mayorkas, all of them. Merrick Garland, all of them. They should all be impeached. They should all be removed. They're all garbage. They hate America. They hate you. They hate me. They love them. They love the illegals. They love the criminals. They are not about law and order whatsoever. And they're about doing whatever they can, again, to make us as conservatives, Republicans, look really, really, really bad. And let's face it, there are Republicans out there that do pretty well making themselves look bad. We know that. So, you know, speaking of just Democrats just being Democrats, I'm in New York, the blue state, the blue bubble, the shithole. And our governor, Kathy Hochul, who's just destroying gun rights wherever she can, ammo restrictions and this and that and all kinds of, it's unbelievable. There's a Democrat, this woman, Carolyn Maloney. She's a real looker. I'm going to bring her up. There she is. Look at that smile. Yeah. So She's pushing a 20% tax on revenue of AR-15 makers. She wants to price us out of weapons. She wants this on a federal level, obviously. They and I've talked about this with quite a few people. James Curry from We the People Radio, we talk about this from time to time, where they want to price, they want to price us out of food, they want to price us out of ammo, they want to price us out of weapons, they want to price us out of everything. They want to price us out of our homes, own nothing, eat the bugs, rely on the government. We're here to help, we'll take care of you, and then we'll control you. So now, if gun manufacturers now have to pay an extra 20% on whatever they're making on their AR-15s, well, what are they going to do? They're going to raise the prices for the consumer, of course. I mean, it's economics 101. I'm not an economist. I'm not a mathematician. It's just common sense, you know, just doing that rational thinking thing. So then what's going to happen? No one's going to buy AR-15s. Or whatever other weapon they decide to put it on. The big bad AR-15, the weapon of war. You know, the semi-automatic rifle that works the same as any semi-automatic handgun. So then they go out of business. And then they win. There's no more AR-15s. We could disarm America. We could take away the most popular rifle away from Americans. Listen. They're not coming to disarm us. They're not coming to your house to take your guns. There aren't enough people to do that in America, and they don't have the balls, because they know then it's on like Donkey Kong. They know it. They know it. They fear it. I mean, that's why other countries would never even think about doing anything on our soil as far as an invasion. They know. They're not worried about the United States military. They're worried about the United States people, the United States citizens. So, yeah, she wants to, and she's on the House Oversight Committee, by the way. She's the chairwoman. She's the chairwoman of the House Oversight Committee, and she's pushing legislation that levies a 20% tax on AR-15 makers' revenue, which means, again, if you're taxing my revenue and I'm selling a product, I have to then pass on that cost to the consumer, to my customers, and raise the prices of my product. The legislation is called the Firearms Industry Fairness Act, because it's so fair. Everything the left is doing is so fair and great for the country. The levy would impose a 20% tax on the total revenue earned by manufacturers who produce assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Define an assault weapon. You can't, because the term is fake. Assault weapons are not a thing. They're not a type of weapon. An AR-15 is not an assault weapon. No, sorry, thank you, do not pass go, do not collect $200, morons. Then she puts out a tweet, bring this back up. My Firearm Industry Fairness Act will tax assault weapon manufacturers 20% of all, capital letters, revenue, and my Firearm Industry Crime and Trafficking Accountability Act will prohibit the selling of guns to retailers if selling leads to a high risk of criminal activity. Well, what does that even mean? House Democrats have already passed a ban on assault weapons, but as we wait for the Senate to act, we must pursue other crucial reforms. Disarm Americans. Control is the goal. Maloney's push to place additional taxes on AR-15 and high-capacity magazine manufacturers comes after the House Oversight Committee July 27, 2022 hearings, in which they questioned the CEOs of Daniel Defense and Strum, Ruger, and Company. Yeah. So, again, this is what they want. They want to price us out. Tax, tax, tax. Raise the prices. No one will have guns, or no one will be able to buy more guns. People that want to buy guns, people that are coming of age and want to get into, they're not going to be able to do it. They're not going to be able to afford them. Or worse, they'll be banned in some areas. So this, again, it's all part of the plan. Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, monkeypox. Speaking of sick globalists, I want to talk about one other thing. I got another video. One other video I got. Fake meat, people. Synthetic lab-grown meat. I love meat. And there is not a chance in hell that I would ever eat synthetic, lab-grown meat. No. But it may end up on grocery shelves near you, and you're going to have to really look to make sure that the meat that you're buying is actual meat. So how many people actually pick up the package of meat in the supermarket and thoroughly read the label besides of what the cut of meat is? Some people don't even do that. They just see it and they know, I know that's a New York strip. I know that's a, you know, a pork roast, whatever, a London broil, this and that. I at least just look to see what it is. I do. I don't really get into it all. And a lot of people don't. Well, I would say probably you should start because this, I think, is a disturbing video that I'm going to bring up. And you can make your own judgment, but this is engineered food. I mean, they're injecting it and they're making it. You know, it's meat-based, but it's synthetic meat. This isn't meat. Meat to me is you. All right, you go kill the cow, you go kill the pig, and you get me some beef and bacon, bitch. Like that's meat. But not to these people. Watch this. Looks good. No.
Would you eat synthetic meat?
No.
Food production technology has progressed to the point where we are able to create meat analogs derived from soybeans, gluten, and other plant products. Beyond meat products are readily available in supermarkets as well as some fast food chains like Burger King and Carl's Jr. If this plant-based imitation
lab-grown
isn't
meat.
Your thing, you can simply get your protein elsewhere. Food cultures around the world have heavily featured plant-based meats such as tofu or falafel
for hundreds of years.
But synthetic meat is not plant-based. It's meat. Lab-grown, artificially produced meat. Thanks to recent innovations in food production technology, consumers may see lab-grown meat in their supermarket aisles very soon. Numerous companies around the world, such as Upside in the United States and Future Meat in Israel, have been hard at work getting ready to bring their lab-grown cultivated meat to the masses. For the first time, they'll be able to say, no animals were harmed in the making of this meat product.
Not interested. Not harming animals. Harm the animals.
Instead, workers cultivate small clumps of animal cells in large industrial-grade vats over a period of weeks.
It's making me nauseous.
During this time, these clumps of cells are grown or cultivated into muscle tissue or meat. Effectively, this means that Upside is able to manufacture real meat in this facility without harming any animals. But how exactly is this done? The first step of this 2 to 8 week process is extracting the cells. After giving an animal a small dose of anesthesia, they extract a small amount of cells from it. These cells are then placed in bioreactors. Large steel vats designed for cell culture applications. Mm. Inside these vats, scientists can grow tissues or cells far beyond the cellular level. Inside the bioreactor, these cells are fed an oxygen-rich cell culture medium or nutrient broth to further promote their growth. This cell culture medium aims to simulate the environment inside an animal's body, and thus contains nutrients such as amino acid, vitamins, and glucose. This nutrient bath encourages the cells to grow normally as they would inside the animal. Eventually, once these cells have multiplied enough, they turn into muscle tissue or a mass resembling ground meat. To shape the tissue into specific cuts of meat such as chicken breast or a prime cut of steak, scientists introduce fat cells and connective tissue cells into the culture. This isn't just for show either. The fat cells and connective tissue enhance the cultivated meat's overall flavor. Scientists can even control the nutritional value of the meat by altering the nutrient broth the cells are bathed in during the cultivation process. Despite the massive amounts of progress they've made with their meat manufacturing process, Upside is running into the same problems encountered by the other meat manufacturers of cultivated meat. For one, the business of cultivated meat is expensive. Each state-of-the-art facility required to produce cultivated meat costs millions of dollars to construct and maintain. Couple that with the overall cost of production, and you end up with a relatively expensive product that might be a hard sell for some consumers. Thankfully, companies like Future Meat have been able to bring production costs down significantly. Recent reports indicate that each Future Meat chicken breast costs $1.70 to produce. That's in stark contrast to the $330,000 burger patties of the first public tasting of cultivated meats back in 2013. Aside from replicating the nutritional value in real meats, it's also crucial to offer consumers a product that tastes, smells, and feels just like the real thing. Upside has found some success with producing cultivated meat similar in texture and flavor to chicken breasts. Other cultivated meat producers around the world have also made significant headway with their products.
This is sick.
For instance, the Tel Aviv-based food tech startup Supermeats hosted a well-publicized taste test for Israeli food journalist Michal Ansky. Despite Ansky's refined palate, she was unable to distinguish between traditionally grown chicken meat and Supermeats' cultivated product. Once the cultivated meat industry takes off, we may finally be able to rein in the increasing environmental cost of feeding our world's population. More than a third of the world's greenhouse gas emissions come from the food production industry, with a large chunk of that attributed to meat production. By offering a cleaner, lab-grown alternative, we may be able to mitigate the growing stress our ballooning global population is placing on the environment. Along the way, we might even be able to get cultivated meat similar in texture and flavor to Wagyu beef. That would be quite the delicious bonus.
Sorry. Nope. Count me out. Bioreactor, nutrient broth, simulate, mass resembling ground meat, control nutritional level. No. How about the growing mass of the ballooning population? You notice how they talk about, you know, there's too many people, greenhouse gases, but it's millions and millions of dollars to make these facilities and production costs. Then they try to, you know, buddy you up. Nope. Price is out of, so they, what I think their plan is they're going to tackle this and try to make the synthetic nutrient broth soaked fake meat, ground beef, the mass that resembles ground beef, affordable. And then they will try to price us out of real meat because they want to control the nutritional level and control us every step of the way. I mean, that's a real video. Like, that's real stuff that's happening. Fake meat. I'm out. I mean, what do you think of fake meat? Whoa, just think about it. I'm not a tofu guy. I'm a meat guy. I like to smoke meat. I like to grill meat. I like my steak. I like my pulled pork. I like my brisket. I don't want fake meat. I'm not going to eat fake meat. So this again is why we have to fight against the globalist regimes out there that want to destroy our country and use the excuse, well, this is going to save our environment. No, it's not. No, it's not. You know what's going to destroy our environment? Electric cars and wind farms. That's what's going to destroy our environment. It's going to destroy lives, and it's not going to help. No. I had one other thing that I wanted to bring up. The mainstream media, CNN, MSNBC, they have gone again, and again, this is just what they don't care who it is, as long as they can get somebody talking against Donald Trump, against conservatives. So they had this disgraced FBI agent that was fired from the FBI, actually, for while he was investigating Donald Trump, I think was tweeting bad things about him and having an affair while he was working and all of this other stuff. His name is Peter Stork. Yeah, Peter Stork. And so CNN and MSNBC, they use him as a regular contributor. And they have a mod that I'm going to going to play from the website. You should be able to hear it. He was fired for 2018 for sending anti-Trump texts while he was overseeing like critical investigations during the Mueller investigation and all that nonsense with the Russia hoax and everything else. But CNN and MSNBC is constantly using him because they're giving him significant airtime to defend the raid at Mar-a-Lago and just talk bad about Donald Trump. Like, he tweeted bad about Donald Trump. There's nothing unbiased about the guy. So I got to try to bring this up, and hopefully you'll be able to hear this.
What we should be prepared for is a level of destruction coming from a Republican Congress, unlike anything we've seen before,
from the FBI.
Specifically targeting the January 6th investigations, but really going after anything seen as a threat to Donald Trump. I don't want to hear that this is some sort of one-sided Department of Justice or FBI who only investigates Republicans. That's nonsense.
Do you think any part of the affidavit should be revealed?
No, and I'd be surprised if it was.
Absolutely, the American public should trust what the FBI is doing. There's absolute silence when the FBI is doing things that isn't targeting them. So I think this is a one-sided narrative that has been developed and amplified, particularly by President Trump, going back to 2015 and 2016.
I think there is going to turn out to be one, highly, highly classified information. But two, things that aren't just things he found neat, I would be surprised if there weren't things that furthered his business interests, things that he could use as leverage over people, Jesus. Things that he could use to settle scores.
You watched Garland's appearance. We all did. Are things better now? Did he do a good enough job in trying to defend the department and quell the criticism?
He was very straightforward, I thought, in what he could do. I thought he did it in the traditions of the department, and he very cleanly put the ball back in Trump's court.
So this is the guy that CNN and MSNBC now has on talking bad about Donald Trump. And he was literally fired from the FBI for tweeting bad about Donald Trump during the investigation. Like, he was removed from Peter Stork. I think the Z is silent or silent. Peter Strzok. I'm sorry. Peter Strzok is his name. That's how you say his name. Like, it matters. He was removed from the Robert Mueller Russia investigation in 2017, and he was fired by the FBI in 2018 in part for exchanging anti-Trump texts with his lover, Lisa Page, while overseeing critical investigations. And now he's been put in this position to defend the raid of Mar-a-Lago just about every day on mainstream legacy media. He appeared on CNN like 8 times, MSNBC 7 or 8 times since the raid. They just have keep because they keep saying FBI. He's an FBI correspondent, senior FBI agent, former senior FBI agent. So that resonates with all these morons on the left who sit there, legacy media, listening to their garbage. And, you know, they'll have him on. Yeah, like that. every day after the raid, he was just about on, at least on one of the major networks, CNN or MSNBC. They had got him on discussion panels. And again, this is just them trying to paint the picture again of, well, you know, conservatives are bad, Donald Trump is bad, and here's a professional. Because most of these people aren't going to look into and say, hey, that's the guy that got fired in 2018 because he's a bag of shit. And he actually is, it's very rare. He's one of the few people that's ever been fired from the FBI or the federal government, period, for performance. And that's why he was fired. And that alone, 100%, should disqualify him from ever appearing on media as any type of authority or expert. But CNN and MSNBC doesn't care, but they want to accuse people like us or independent news outlets for spreading misinformation and disinformation. And they're not going to stop. They're going to keep doing that. They're going to keep doing that. And again, listen, White House was involved in Donald Trump's criminal probe. The mainstream media is spinning that Joe Biden didn't know, and that Donald Trump stole top secret secrets and espionage and all this. They're going to do everything they can to indict him. And this is, you think it's bad now that they raided his home? I believe it's going to get worse. I believe it's going to get worse. Down the road, obviously, is wait till after the midterms as we get closer. You know, I also have this feeling that at some point they may indict Hunter Biden, try him and convict him, and have Daddy pardon him. I've said this before, pardon him before he leaves the White House. He's not running again in 2024, Joe Biden. There's no way. But now, if they could sell this narrative to the American people and say, look, our justice system is fair and it works because we indicted the sitting president's son. We tried him and convicted him on fraud. It won't be much, you know, firearm crimes. And then Joe Biden will pardon him. I mean, it won't look good, but they won't care. And they'll indict Donald Trump. They'll maybe get him, maybe get a misdemeanor conviction. He could still run for president, but just so they could say that they had it, they got it, and that Donald Trump is a criminal. Because no one's going to pardon Donald Trump, obviously. I mean, they purposely, Joe Biden took away his executive privilege. So, you know, there's that. In any case, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Pay attention. Pay attention to everything. Just pay attention to what's going on because there's I'm sure going to be a shakeup. There's going to be what they call as an aha moment with Donald Trump. They thought this Mar-a-Lago that maybe it would have happened already, but there's going to be their aha moment that they feel is an aha moment. That's really not an aha moment. Don't eat the fake meat. Be careful with your handicap spot because trans people are going to be parked at it now because they're officially disabled with gender dysphoria. I hope they get special license plates too. I'm gender dysphoric and I'm proud. And get out of my parking space because I was born Harry, but now my name is Sally. I can't. It's clown world. Listen, share the video. Follow me on Instagram, The Great Divide Podcast. Follow me on Truth Social, The Great Divide Podcast. Follow me on Getter, Alan Jacoby 1776. Get me on Facebook over at The Great Divide Podcast. I just hit 30,000 followers on Facebook. Thank you very much, everybody. It's a highly engaged page. And I really appreciate all the support you all give me every time I'm on, every day on the pages. You guys are great. Let's not forget my sponsor, MyPillow, Mike Lindell, great American patriot, loves the country, loves fighting for election integrity, and we need it. Go over to MyPillow.com and save up to 66% with my promo code GREAT1776 on hundreds of amazing products. You can also get the My Coffee now and save 25% on My Coffee over at MyStore.com. MyStore.com is a website that Mike Lindell has for American entrepreneurs who have businesses and products that he sells for them. But you can get the My Coffee, which is his, and go over there and use GREAT1776 for 25% off the coffee. The coffee is really good, actually, and I'm a coffee snob. I am just about ready to launch my cigar company, the Patriot Cigar Company. You can go over to the website and sign up for the launch. It should be up in the next week or so. MyPatriotCigars.com, coming out with four. I'm a big cigar guy. So my cigar smokers out there, you're going to really enjoy these. 100% long filler, Nicaraguan, Cuban seed, Nicaraguan grown, aged 3 years, minimum long filler. And they're amazing. Two Maduros, two mediums. They're going to be great. Information will be coming out on them. And that's it, everybody. Get my website, thegreatdivide1776.com. You can get the audio version on any podcast platform that you download from. Also, the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV. If you have a smart TV or a Roku device, type in Patriot Podcast Network and you'll get it's free. Download it into your catalogs. You can get my show and about 25 other podcasts. We'll be adding more as we go. And it's a place where people aren't allowed on YouTube, shows like mine, where we just want to speak truth. Conspiracies, truth, politics. It's what all kinds. There's a show there for everybody. Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV. And I think until then, everybody stay free. And I'll see you on Friday, 9:30 p.m. Freedom Friday with James Curry. I actually, tomorrow I'm doing an interview. It's not live. I'm doing an interview with Joe Hoft from the editor of the Gateway Pundit. So I will be putting that out at some point in the near future as well. So take care, everybody. Take care of each other. And God bless America. I'll see you on Friday.